Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. This is page 1114 in the Red Pew Bible, page 1114. Just to set the context a little bit, this is fairly along the way in Jesus' ministry. He's done a lot of amazing things. But I believe it's correct that this is the only one where we actually hear somebody come back and say thanks for what he did. And so we see Jesus going through Samaria and Galilee. Just to remind us, Samaria was the place where they considered half Jews. They were replaced by the Assyrians when they came in and conquered the time of Israel in the year 721 B.C. So basically took all the 10 northern tribes, they took them off to exile, and they replaced them all with people from other lands. That's what the Assyrians would do. And so these people claimed Judaism, but they're really like half Jews. And so the real Israelites, the lower tribes of Benjamin and Judah, they hated these people. They wanted nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them, which is interesting how Jesus uses that. If you know the parable of the Good Samaritan, that was hard for the Jews to hear that, because who's the only one that did something good? It's this Samaritan. We see the very same thing in this story here. So we need to understand the Jews wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. In fact, even Jesus going through that territory was something that would have been controversial. So anyway, here we see 10 lepers, Jesus going along between Samaria and Galilee, and he has this encounter. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Not giving thanks is such an easy thing to do. We take so much for granted. I was going through some amazing stuff we can find online nowadays, so easy to do. But it just occurred to me in terms of talking about giving thanks, just the very thing that we have of living in this country and how much we take that for granted. And I went through and I found that there's about 325 million people in the United States. There's 7.5 billion people in the world. 7.5 billion. So the chance of us living in this great nation is about 4%. 4% that we live in this nation. And I have this imagination, this dream, you know, kind of self-made vision, I guess, of all these, you know, people in heaven, and they're waiting to come down to earth, you know, as babies or whatever. And I'm not proposing that as a theology, by the way. I'm just saying, imagine these all, and they're like, "Oh, I hope I get to get born into America." I mean, look at all the people who are longing to get into this country and to have their babies. And I think, wow, all of them up there. You know, I hope I get born in America. And they come out and they say, well, you got a 4% chance. You know, out of 100 people waiting, you know, four are going to make it to. Out of 20 people waiting, one. And just that by itself, what a blessing it is for us just to say, if nothing else that we're doing, thank God that we live in this great, the greatest nation ever, by the way. Thank God for that. Well, our theme is living biblically. What does it mean to live biblically? It means to live our lives according to biblical teaching and biblical principles. And today we consider, what does it mean to give thanks in all circumstances? Let me go ahead and put that back up just to remind us. 1 Thessalonians, to give thanks in all circumstances. There's a great book by William Farley called The Secret of Spiritual Joy. The Secret of Spiritual Joy. You know what the secret is for spiritual joy? Having a heart of gratitude, being thankful. William Farley describes joy this way. Joy is a deep down inside, quiet, settled conviction that all is well, even when circumstances are horrendous. Let me read that again. A deep down inside, quiet, settled conviction that all is well, even when circumstances are horrendous. That is joy. It's not, you know, this, well, of course, that's joy too, being, you know, all exuberant and everything. But this is this deep down conviction that things around my life may be horrendous. And yet I've got this deep-seated conviction, this quietness that it's going to be okay. All is well. All is well. Now, one way to also think about this is to think about the opposite. Having an attitude of gratitude versus having an attitude of complaining and grumbling. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness, and they kept having these tests of the Lord, and they kept, you know, they come up to the sea and they say, oh, we're going to die. No, the Lord showed them through, but they forgot that. They came to the water. It was salty, and they said, oh, can't the Lord do this? And they were grumbling. Then they came, and oh, can't we have any meat to eat in the desert? You know, and it's like grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. Aren't you glad we're not like that? Yeah, aren't you glad? I am. So the opposite of gratitude is grumbling and complaining, and Farley describes that this way. When we grumble, basically we're saying, I deserve better than I'm getting, and God is not good enough to give it to me. Doesn't that cut to the heart? I deserve better than I'm getting, and God is just not good enough to give it to me. Wow. Now, the reason these two attitudes are opposite, and I think this is true, Farley makes this comment, is that we cannot be thankful and complaining at the same time. Think about that. To be thankful and complain at the same time, they're mutually exclusive. You can't be doing both. So either we're, although we may try, yeah. But to be thankful, have that attitude of thankfulness is opposite of grumbling. According to Farley, and I also agree with this, gratitude does not come naturally. It is so easy for us to take things for granted, is it not? But, he says, an attitude of gratitude can be cultivated. We can learn. I think like sports or like music, the more we practice it, I think the better we can get. Now, the other thing he talks about is to choose joy. And he makes the connection between gratitude and joy. And actually, the scriptures do that as well. Let me remind you, our text for this morning is give thanks in all circumstances. But just before that, Paul says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So there's this definite connection between giving thanks and having joy. So we could say, well, I want to be more joyful. Well, I'm not sure how to do that, except if my focus is my cultivating is the thankfulness, it is joy that will follow. It will joy. And if you think of people who are joyful, they're not complaining people, are they? They're people who just give thanks for whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know, like the kid who gets, you know, dirt for Christmas, and he's like, I know there must be a pony around somewhere, right? Right? That optimism, that always positive thinking of just looking for the best in things, just knowing that God is going to be, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So we can choose gratitude, which in that comes to choose joy. And that's what Farley says is the secret of spiritual joy is having this attitude of gratitude, and it's something that can be cultivated. Now, there's many ways to do that. One I want to talk about today, I think, again, is the connection we saw in Paul's letter, was by our prayers, by the way that we pray. One way we can choose and practice and cultivate gratitude is to incorporate it intentionally in our prayers, especially when we're praying the Psalms. I love the Psalms. When things are a problem for me, or I feel distressed, or something about, I get the Psalms, and I'll go through the house praying them out loud. I believe there's power in the spoken word. Pray it out loud. I talk to people, and I'm like, get your Psalms out, you know, and start praying your Psalms, and just let that word of God just permeate, you know, our whole atmosphere and our whole being. But something I've started about 2 or 3 months ago, modifying the Psalms, and this could be, you're changing the word of God? Well, I'm just massaging it a little bit, and I think God is okay with it. What I do is I go back to the scriptures, because I realize that these texts, particularly the Psalms, were written before the resurrection and before the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So in a sense, the things we're asking for, God has promised us and in a sense has already given us. And so we're asking and asking and asking, but yet post-resurrection and post-Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has now been giving us this. And so I think it is biblical to say that instead of asking, as we normally would do, we're going to claim that promise. We're going to claim it, and we're going to give thanks for it. Now let me show you how it works. One of the psalms we use here every week is Psalm 51, a very penitential psalm. Let me just remind you, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. We're asking God, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Hyssop is what they used at Exodus for, you know, putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. We pray that every morning, right? We just did this morning. And what I do is I turn that around and say, I'm going to claim this as a promise of God, and I'm going to give thanks for it. And it sounds like this. Thank you for having mercy on me, O God. Thank you for blotting out my transgressions. Thank you for washing me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleansing me from my sin. Thank you for hiding your face from my sins. Thank you for blotting out all my iniquities. Thank you for purging me with hyssop and making me clean. Thank you for washing me and making me whiter than snow. Thank you for creating in me a clean heart, O God. Thank you for renewing a right spirit within me. Thank you for restoring to me the joy of your salvation. Do you see the difference? We're claiming it. We're claiming it because it's a promise that God gave us. I was struck one time, this was a while ago, reading this about, it was actually a pastor had this thing going on. One of his kids was really sick. He was really overwhelmed by it. And he said, Lord, your word, which I think is actually taken out, your word is I'm not going to give you more than you can handle, right? And so he's like really being tested. How many of us have been there, right? Like, Lord, you promised you wouldn't give it more than we can handle. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And this guy's calling out to the Lord. He said, Lord, you said your grace was sufficient for me. I need some more of it. In a way, he was kind of rebuked by the Lord. He says, why are you pestering me and begging for that which I have promised you? And he was convicted by that. And he said, oh, you know, God promises, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. And for us to come to the Lord and oh, Lord, please be with me. Lord, please don't forsake me. He says, I promised you that I wouldn't. Do you believe my promises? I'm like, wow, I'm really convicted by that in my own life. To believe and accept the promises of God and to give thanks for it, that it is happening. His grace is sufficient for me. He has forgiven us our sins, washed us, and made us whiter than snow. How about Psalm 23? This is one of the favorite ones I love to. You know it well, so I won't read that. I'll just read what I've turned it into, basically. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my shepherd. Have you ever thanked Jesus for being my shepherd? I just took that for granted. Oh, Lord, my shepherd. Thank you. You didn't have to be. So I shall not want. Thank you for making me lie down in green pastures. Thank you for leading me beside still waters. Thank you for restoring my soul. What has God done to me? He has restored my soul. I'm claiming that promise, and I'm giving thanks to him for it. Thank you for leading me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. You promised that you would. Thank you that your rod and your staff comfort me. Thank you for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you for anointing my head with oil. Thank you that my cup overflows. Thank you that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Thank you that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Do you feel the difference? I mean, there's something. Now, I have varying degrees of confidence in things that I say. I mean, some talk about, I've got 100% confidence. This is the truth of the gospel. I've got about a 75% confidence factor in what I'm about to say here. Because as I've been working this and giving thanks for more things and claiming it, and in the sense it is scriptural, the scripture says, you know, believe you've received it and it is yours. I have a sense that I pray things, I claim it, and I give thanks for it. Somehow I think there's more power in that. I mean, we turn to God and ask for various things, but to claim it, to believe that God is answering because he promised that he would, somehow I'm sensing more power in that than just simply asking for things. Please save me. Please protect me. Rather than I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you for watching over me. I claim it. And somehow, some way, it just seems to be more powerful. I don't understand it. It's not a gimmick, you know, not this name it and claim it thing, you know. And you know, a lot of people, I believe, falsely, or you know, you see that on television. But it's something like that. I don't understand it. But I believe there's more power when we're actually thanking God. What about the Lord's Prayer? The most familiar prayer, I think, to all of us. Listen to this. Thank you, Father, for giving me my daily bread. You ever thank God for giving us our... Well, we'll keep asking for it, right? Give me this day my daily... Keep asking that. How about thanking him? Yes, he is giving it to me. He is giving me my daily bread. Thank you for forgiving me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Thank you for leading me not into temptation. Thank you for delivering me from evil. Wow. Power. Power. And prayers of thanksgiving. Farley includes this great thing of a person named Jeff. I'm not even sure if it's a real person. I think it is. Listen to this description of this guy named Jeff. Jeff's alarm clock rattles him awake on a cold winter morning. He groans, sits up, and maneuvers his feet onto the chilly floor. With great sincerity, he bows his head and mumbles a prayer under his breath. Thank you, Father, for a good night's sleep. Thank you for the soft mattress and warm blankets. God, I'm even thankful for the alarm clock. You ever given thanks to God for an alarm clock? He stumbles into the bathroom, eyelids half shut, mind partially in gear, and reaches for the electric razor. Father, thank you for this shaver. Most people throughout history have shaved with a knife, if at all. And while I'm at it, thank you for heating and for lights. He gropes his way into the kitchen and switches on the coffee pot. Father, thank you for this wonderful device, a gift from you. I'm so grateful. Hot, fresh coffee in just 2 minutes. You're good for that. What a privilege, God. You are so good to me. Returning to his bedroom, he opens his closet to find it full of shirts and slacks and shoes. Just the day before, he had read that the average father in Southeast Asia feeds his family $100 per month with nothing left for clothing. So Jeff prays, "Father, how great is your grace. Thank you for these material blessings. I am so unworthy." He goes on to go through his day giving thanks for all the things he has, the car, all the things. Even he's got to go to work and he's got to resolve this conflict between a couple employees. He's already thanking God that God's going to lead him how to do that and give him the ability to somehow resolve. "I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I thank you for doing it." His life is filled with thanksgiving. And now Farley, at the end of this description, Farley says this, "Can you relate to Jeff?" Probably not. Probably not. I don't know how many of us know anybody that goes through the day constantly giving thanks to God in all things. Seems so strange. Seems so foreign. Can we relate to that? Probably not for most of us. To do what Paul calls us to do, give thanks in all circumstances. The toughest one for me is driving behind a slow driver. Get behind a slow driver. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And I've got to say, "Lord, thank you for this driver that's probably keeping me from maybe an intersection accident or something. Who knows? Who knows? Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this person driving in front of me that's going 30 miles an hour in a 55 zone. It's a heart of gratitude. And it just brings this joy, this inner sense of peace, and just like everything's going to be okay. No matter what's going on in my life, it's going to be okay. The secret to spiritual joy, a heart of gratitude. How can we do that? How can we make it more a part of our lives, incorporate it into our prayers, particularly the Psalms? It just makes me somehow see more into the Psalms and the Word as I go through, kind of rephrase them, and including this word of thanks or this claiming. It just makes the Psalms just different. Just different. And I believe holy to God. So start playing with that. I encourage you. Think of it. I've been doing it for about 2 or 3 months, and I'm getting better at it. The more where I can actually read along and just incorporating it in the midst of the very text. Thanking God and claiming what he's already doing in my life. Now I want to leave you with kind of the ultimate question of thanksgiving. If I knew that today was going to be my last day here on earth, would I be thankful for the time that God had already given me? If I somehow knew today was going to be my last day on this earth, would I have a heart of gratitude and be thankful for what I've already lived through? And I would say for those of us who have lost loved ones, dear loved ones, to say how hard it is, and yet I'm thankful for the time that we had. Thankful for the time that we had each and every day. It was a joy. Having a heart of gratitude and living to give thanks in all circumstances, and the joy that comes from that. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. And as we have a heart of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, and the joy that comes from that, truly, truly the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us, as he promised, more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, that you place our hearts in stone, the hearts of flesh. So we thank you, Father, that we do have hearts of flesh and how that we said to you. That we do have the ability to have thanks and gratitude in our hearts. And Father, we just thank you that you give us that gratitude and we can exercise that gratitude and confidence.
Yes, Lord.
Even in the hard things, Father, that you that we can trust you.
Yes, Lord.
Trust your word and trust your promise.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.